There is more going on than you know. There are unseen universal forces at work. The law of attraction is just one universal law that plays a part in shaping your reality. But there's so much more to know. If you knew how to engage all the universal forces, you could deliberately create the life of your dreams. Joshua, a group of non-physical teachers, explains the laws of the universe and how the mechanisms of physical reality actually work. They are channeled by Gary Temple Bodley, and each week, Gary and a group of students discuss how they are affecting and enhancing their lives every single day. This is the expansion of the law of attraction. This is the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. We're thrilled you're here.
Hello, everyone. This is episode 55 of the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. I'm your host, Gary Temple Bodley. Today is November 13th, 2016. Today is all about conscious manifestation. We want to manifest our desires, so how do we do that? How do we get everything we want? What actions do we take? How can we speed up this process? This week, Astrid asked about manifesting a perfect vacation to Miami. She wants it to be awesome, and there are certain specific things she wants to have happen. But she has some fears. Today, we're going to talk about the manifestation process and what Joshua has to say all about it. We will also talk about how we manifested Donald Trump as our president. On the roundtable today, we have Steve Finizza. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Gary.
And Kyla Hinton. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, Gary.
And Wendy is out riding horses, finally. If you've been with us in the past, Joshua asked Wendy, how did she find her passions and what, you know, and she wants to find her passion in life. And Joshua says, well, what did you like to do when you were a kid? And start there. And so she said, I liked to ride horses when I was a kid. And Joshua says, well, then go ride horses. And how long ago was that?
Just a couple weeks ago.
And 3 weeks. Today she's riding a horse.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yep.
I was just listening to the Joshua Live where she was saying that she was inspired to go to a different dog park than usual. And then she just happened to see the woman that could sponsor her for riding the horses. So inspired
action. Yeah, and it all happened. One thing led to another thing led to another thing. It was perfect. It's funny how that works. Well, that's all what manifestation is. So we're going to talk about how do we manifest the things we really want. And actually, Emma, who's joined the one-on-one program with Joshua, has asked about that today. That was actually her Saturday question was, you know, if I want all my desires to come to me and I don't really know what they are, I just have sort of an idea what they are. But, you know, when I think about something I want, you sort of have this picture of it in your mind and then you become attached to that picture of it. Mm-hmm. But you're trying to map out how to get from here to there. And in Emma's answer, and we'll see probably in Astrid's answer, that it's all about detaching yourself from that picture that you have in your mind and just allowing it to happen. Because the picture you have in the mind is like – it can only be seen from this lower vibration that you have, right? So you're at this one level right now. And in order for you to be a vibrational match to this thing you want, you have to, you know, raise your vibration and change a little bit and get there. And so from this limited perspective, you can't really see how to get there. And really what we all do is we say, well, if we had the money or the time or, you know, the education or whatever it was, then it would come to us. But that's not really – that's like trying to fill in your own grid, as Abraham would say. So we're going to talk about how things get manifested, what you can do to speed it up, and basically it all boils down to what? Experts, what do you think?
Focus on – I would say the safer thing to do would be focus on the feeling that you're after, because everything you want is because you think you'll feel better. So you can just focus on that and let the universe bring it to you in the most elegant way possible.
Right. And so what you're really doing is allowing.
Yeah.
You're focusing on the feeling of what you want, not the specific thing you think is going to accomplish that feeling, just the feeling. Like I want to be – you know, I want someone to love, for instance, if you were looking for a mate, if you thought that having a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife was the thing you wanted, then you just focus on that feeling of wanting to share your life with someone and to express your love to someone.
And appreciate where that already exists in your life. You know, like use examples of relationships that you already have that are successful, where you love and feel loved, you know, be grateful for those things, spend time focusing on that, and then more things like it that bring you those same feelings just show up.
Exactly.
Even if it's your cat.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a really good point. Your cat or your dog or your bird or whatever.
Or a paperclip, you know?
Yeah.
Joshua told you to see that.
I love my paperclip.
You could.
Or whatever tool you have.
That's right. So you guys, how did we manifest Donald Trump as our president?
I went to a, you know, that Channeling Eric seminar.
Yeah.
He said, Eric said that Trump was likely to win. And wow. I thought he was, I go, wow, he's really confused for being non-physical.
Right. I did not see that happening at all. I was so
I totally did. I was not. I mean, I wasn't really following it, but I wasn't surprised at all because, I mean, Joshua even says that, like, you can't fight against anything. What you fight against only, like, gets bigger. And there were a lot of people fighting against Trump. There were a lot of people who know better, like people, I don't know, conscious creators who were still, like, anti-Trump. I don't know. But what I think, what excites me about it is people are going to see, you know, what they asked for, basically. Fear. And, I mean, fear, that's what it is. And I think it's going to swing the momentum in the other direction. You know, people are going to be like, oh, good God. And then I already see it happening. Like, at my kid's school, the teacher was talking about, even the school, like, the head of the school, the head administrator, sent on an email the morning after the election and said, you know, we can be upset or we can just make the best of this and teach our kids kindness and compassion and, you know, empathy and understanding. And so that's, I don't know, that's what I think will be the silver lining. It may
well,
seem like
you know, it's like anything else. The perspective that you take allows you to either remain feeling good or to feel bad. So for me, my perspective is this is going to be a really interesting time that will shake things up. And, you know, it seems like this is, you know, working towards, just like you said, the pendulum, you know, it's going to swing in this way. And it's going to be like, this is, people are going to say, this is what we do not want any longer. You know, this is really what we didn't want when Bush wasn't around, this fear thing that's attacking other countries, this, you know, worrying about everything. And the same thing's true of you know, and we don't know what Trump's going to do, but just from what he said he was going to do, it seemed all super fear-based.
I think Trump doesn't even know what he's going to do. I think he's just making it up as he goes.
It just seems so like ridiculous. He's just making it up. You know, they were showing that breakfast in 2011 where Obama said, Donald was in the audience and he said, thank God that Donald, we can finally get this birthing issue behind us. So now you can focus on more important things like, is the world flat? And he was just fuming, you know, and you could see his face and it's like, you know, he says, I'm going to get that guy. I'm going to be president. And so now he's gotten what he thought he wanted to get and look where he is. It's going to be He's not. I don't think he's going to enjoy it, but we'll see. But maybe he'll be different. You know, you can't think he's going to be a social conservative. He's like not going to be anti-gay. I mean, it was surprising he's anti-abortion. That was shocking to me.
I mean, you know, it was just something he says. I don't know.
I think it says. Yeah,
it's all very malleable. His beliefs. I think that when he believes something, he really believes it. But I think his beliefs change easily. I feel like I've had some practice with like. I feel like my ex, I don't know, and Donald Trump have some things in common. So like, they really believe what they're saying. You know.
Yeah.
And so you can't change them. You just gotta like, okay.
Well, Joshua says your beliefs should be malleable.
The
more malleable you are, the easier your evolution goes.
Yeah.
So
Donald Trump is creating his own reality right now. You know?
Oh, he's good at it. He's one of the best.
He is. Yeah. I think another thing we're going to find out, too, is that the president really doesn't matter.
That's
as much as we think.
Right.
Yeah.
I was talking to a guy at poker, and the day before the election, he says, What am I going to do now that I can't live in this country that's, you know, abandoned me and it's going to be Democratic? Because thinking that Hillary's going to win. And I said, well, one, you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he says, of course you know what's going to happen. She's going to come and tax corporations 50% and all this stuff. And I said, you have no idea what's going to happen. And two, you're giving way too much credit to the government for shaping your life. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have the same set of parameters and we can all create what we want to create. And if you're going to think that, you know, you're screwed because the Democrats are in office, then you're just limiting yourself. Mm-hmm. And he was arguing with me about when I said, you don't know what's going to happen. He said, of course you know what's going to happen. We know everything's going to happen. And I said, you don't know anything that's going to happen. It's just, mm-hmm. We're playing a poker match. I mean, he should know we don't know what's going to happen. And so that next day when Trump – when they go, see, you didn't know what was going to happen. With even this, you didn't know what was going to happen. Like, but there was no getting through to him. But the point is that you just don't know what's going to happen. And you can frame it any way you want. Yeah.
Well, you might as well pick a good one, right?
You might as well pick a good one if you're going to make it up.
Yeah. Well, Joshua says it's all happening for us. So Trump's happening for us. It's going to be good.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And if you look at Hillary, who I voted for, it's very possible that nothing would change. I mean, nothing really changed too much with Obama.
Yeah.
And I don't think much would change with Hillary. And this at least is going to cause some change. And I think we can get through it. I think it's probably necessary.
One other thing that excites me about this is, like, I think that we're ready for, well, I mean, obviously we're not. I was going to say, the thought of a woman president did excite me. I didn't vote for her, but I think that had she won, it would have just been, I mean, Obama, but a woman, you know, people fighting against her just because she's different or they perceive her as different. And I think that after Trump, I think the next election, a woman very possibly could win and be, like, welcomed, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think so, too.
So mm-hmm. Another silver lining for me.
Good. Okay. So I'll start off by reading the quote of the week, which was, you know, we're sort of doing this backward because this is last week's quote. But anyway, we have to talk about something. We'll talk about this. Did you guys see this quote?
Yeah.
That Deborah Jo made?
I read it this morning. It's really great.
Pretty cool. It's a plane that catches a glimpse of Lake Michigan where the reflection of Chicago is upside down in your perspective.
I could not
figure
it out.
The sun is coming through it.
Wow.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. All right. If you are allowing your belief system to be open to these new ideas about the mechanism of physical reality, you are starting to see your world in a way you have not experienced since childhood. You are spending a little time listening to the thoughts that are coming from somewhere deep inside you. You are beginning to live a balanced life. So this idea of a balanced life is that you live in physical reality and in non-physical reality. Your conditions around you, everything you observe with your five physical senses, that's your physical reality, which is fine. We're here to do that. But there's also a non-physical reality in you while you're physical, and that's your thoughts, your imagination, your beliefs, your perception of the world, your perspective. That's all a non-physical thing. And the communication is coming from your inner self, your emotions. That's non-physical, obviously. So that you're designed to live balanced between the two. My whole life up to this point was all living in the physical. I was always trying to manipulate the conditions on the outside world so that I could feel good instead of feeling good so that my conditions would reflect how I feel. Hmm. And that's what a balanced life is. You start from the inside. You start from the non-physical, how you feel about yourself especially and everything else in your reality, and then work on feeling as good as you can, as good as you can, as good as you can, and then let the outside conditions reflect how you feel about yourself or what you want to feel like, too. But it's interesting that Joshua says, since childhood. Because apparently in childhood, we lived this exuberant life, most of us, unless there was some condition in our childhood that was there to disrupt things. But generally, we were happy and playful and fun and easygoing and carefree and used our imagination to a huge extent.
And then it's beat out of you.
than is beat your beat down. You'll never get that.
You have to grow up and be a responsible adult. And
right, you can't play.
Do what your teachers tell you, and then do what your employers tell you, and all that crap. Can't wait.
Memory from first grade. I'm in the back seat with my best friend, and we get into this, contagious giggle thing, mm-hmm. laughter, where we can't stop laughing, and we're just laughing and laughing and laughing at nothing. And I mean, that is the most joy you could have, right?
And that's without
my
drugs.
Mom is like, "Shut up! Stop laughing! What are you laughing at?"
Oh my god!
She got so mad at us for laughing.
Well, California passed the marijuana law, so now we can go back to that laughing uncontrollably for no reason at all.
Florida passed medical marijuana, which was exciting.
Oh, so that's the baby step. That's the first step.
Yeah, that's all you need, really. Once it's medical, then everyone gets their medical card.
Everybody can't sleep at night.
No one can sleep. Everyone has,
lots of back pain.
Lots of suffering from migraines.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think that's raising the vibration of all of the U.S. because you have to admit, if you partake, you relax, you're more allowing, you're just.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I got busted out of a big tournament yesterday, and me could not get out of this bad mood that I had, I was just like in this little, and it happens. I'm so much better at it than I used to be, but this was a big World Series of Poker tournament. And the way that I got knocked out, which is frustrating. And usually by the time I get to the valet and get my car, I feel better and I'm on to the next thing. And I usually realize that something had happened. In fact, the day before I got busted out of a tournament, I go, I know something's going to happen. And right as I'm walking out, my friend calls and says, we have tickets for this grand opening of this new really cool place. And we have VIP tickets, so everything's free. Can you guys go? And so me and Lily went and we had the best time. And had I been in this tournament, I couldn't have gone. It was a really amazing night. And I knew something like that was going to happen. And yesterday I knew something great was going to happen, but I just couldn't get out of this mood. So for the first time in my life, someone gave me a little pot, and I have a little, went and got a little pipe, and I had one puff. That's all I need.
First time in your life?
Huh?
First time in your life?
No, I mean, I've never been into smoking pot, so
okay.
First time I've
ever had some and did it.
If someone, I was at someone's house and they had it, that's fine, but I never had my own ever. So had one puff, and I could not feel negative emotion. I'm like, where did that go? I can't feel it. It's like it slipped away. I didn't do anything to talk myself out of it. It just went away.
Like magic. I think that's why it's so popular, because people just want to feel good. And maybe they don't have the tools that Joshua, right?
I have them, and I couldn't use them.
Well, everybody needs a little help once in a while, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's a great thing. Plus, obviously, it is – not only is it safe, but there's studies upon studies of all the benefits to it. Mm-hmm. When we have this belief system that something's good or bad and we can't actually look at the facts, and say it's good, we still have people who say that pot smoking is bad. And how can you even say that, right?
Have you seen Reefer Madness?
Yeah, Reefer Madness. So it gets ingrained, these stupid beliefs that aren't based on personal experience. Because usually people who say pot is bad are people who have never smoked pot. Mm-hmm. But another thing that's really interesting is that flossing your teeth does nothing. Did you know that?
I asked the dentist about it because I had to go to the dentist, And I said,
let me guess,
do you guys...
he would say... I'm sorry for interrupting. Go ahead. I'm just saying, when you ask a dentist, they're going to...
What did he say?
She said, yeah, that study was run by people who don't like flossing.
Okay. But what's interesting is not a study. Mm. It's every study. They've had thousands of studies on flossing, and not one of them has proven any benefit, which means that every one of them has proven that there is no benefit, right? If you can't prove a benefit to flossing. So now we have this belief that flossing is good for us, yet we have no proof whatsoever that it does anything. And in fact, we have dozens of studies that prove that it doesn't do anything. And yet we are still, even me, drawn to this idea that flossing is good. So I stopped flossing.
Well, if you'd had a belief, or if you have a belief that flossing is good for you, you are going to manifest great teeth with no cavities.
Because you floss, unless you forget to floss. And then you're going to worry about not flossing,
right,
and then the teeth are going to fall out.
Right. So it's beneficial for people to know.
How about you just change your beliefs?
Exactly. Change the belief.
Did that come through?
I believe that.
I had a cough there. I muted myself. I did it. Yeah.
I do that all the time. It didn't come through.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a thing that I'm just looking at all these beliefs that I have that I'm so tied to, but yet I haven't done any research myself to look at them. And when I do the research and prove that the belief is false, then I have a whole new shift in my reality or my belief system, and then I go to a different place. So look at all the money I'm going to save on not buying floss now. over the course of a lifetime, that could add up to tens of dollars.
I would say you're saving time. That's the payoff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so that's what my point was, just that we have these beliefs and we don't know, they were adopted from someone else, you know, and then you don't even look to see if they're real or not. So I'm saying look at beliefs. Okay. Do you want to get into this question?
Yeah.
Okay. Kyla, would you read for Astrid? Astrid lives in Norway. And so she's thinking about taking a vacation in December. And we've been talking about it a little bit in the one-on-one.
I will. Give me just a second. I got to close the door to the room I'm in.
To your studio? To your home studio?
There's Call of Duty happening.
Ah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Dear Joshua, I'd like to talk about this trip in December. The original thought was to go to Miami, stay at a luxurious hotel, maybe 5 to 6 days. I've been checking out the best area to stay without a car and checking out the hotels. I want to travel on business class and stay at a hotel close to shopping and beach, 4 or 5 stars. I'd like a single seat on the plane. Some airlines have that. Okay, so a lot of things that I have already decided. Is this wrong of me?
So that single seat on the plane, have you seen those before?
No, like I haven't.
Little alcoves, and it sort of takes up the whole row, but they're on angles in first class. Mm. They're very cool. Yep. Okay.
I'd like some input on my fears. I won't have fun. I'm afraid I'll feel lonely or just have too much fear so that I won't be able to enjoy myself. Eating dinner alone, being alone at nights, and so on. It will be way too expensive for a vacation where I might not have fun. It will be way too expensive for just 5 or 6 days. But the whole point is to treat myself to business class and nice hotels, so it is very important to me. At the same time, it is scary to spend this much money on just a short trip, going by myself and maybe not enjoying myself. I worry what I will say to my mother. I have to go when she is at home so she can take care of Grandma. We can't both be out of the country at the same time. She texts me at least twice a week and stops by my place at least once a week, so I need to be in the same time zone and at home if she is to not find out. Or I could say I'm going with a friend. Most of all, I just don't want to tell her because she is so incredibly nagging, and I think I am old enough to not have to defend going on vacation to my mother. What if I don't like it? It will cost a pretty large amount of money compared to my other trips, and because I am by myself, I am so worried I will not be able to turn the bad feelings around. This trip will touch on so many fears for me. Lack, money, being alone, lonely, making conversations with strangers, being approached by strangers, navigating a new place alone, eating dinner alone, having no one to look at or talk to while eating, my body in a bikini or shorts, spending the evenings, nights alone, no one to go out with, having to defend myself to my mother when I haven't even done anything wrong, admitting defeat to my friends if it doesn't turn out good, admitting to my friends that I don't even really want to go, but feel like I need to. Help, please. With love, Astrid.
So I told Astrid she could come stay with us, but that'd probably be boring for her. A couple of old fogies. No, but definitely she could come with us, but that's not the point. Here's the point. We'll get into this as Steve reads for Joshua.
Okay. Dear Astrid, this is a wonderful, this is a perfect example of birthing a wonderful desire and not yet being vibrationally ready for it. You are filling in the blanks yourself. You are trying to control the manifestation process yourself. It simply does not work this way.
Okay, so here is Astrid wanting this feeling of going away, being on vacation, luxury, all that stuff. And so you can see her here trying to say, okay, if I'm going to go away, where would I go? I'll pick Miami. What? How do I feel luxurious? I'll go to a really nice hotel. I'll first class. It'll be this thing. So she's sort of has this attachment in her mind of how it should look. But there's problems.
Yeah. Here's what we suggest. Let the universe work out the details while you practice becoming vibrationally aligned with your desire. When the time is right, it will magically fall into place. If you cannot get to vibrationally aligned with your desire, then it will not manifest, and that is a very good thing.
Yeah. So if she can't get vibrationally aligned with the desire, then it won't manifest, and that's good, right? So you could see that if she took this trip now without being vibrationally aligned to all those aspects of it, that she would be feel lonely, and that's not a feeling she wants. She would feel like it's too expensive, and that's not a feeling she wants. She would feel like she's, you know, having to explain herself to her mother and her friends, and that's not what she wants either. So this trip is, if she takes it, which she certainly can take it, and manifest it, right? So she can manifest this right now if she wants to, but she's smart enough to think, this isn't going to work if I have these fears around it. It's not going to be what I want. So Josh was suggesting, let the universe figure it out for you. And when the time is right, it'll come as long as you can get into alignment with it. Now, what else does Joshua say?
If you were to take this trip without being vibrationally ready, you would not have a very good time at all. You would feel lonely. You would feel guilty. Your mother would make you feel even worse. You would not have good stories to tell your friends. The idea of a wonderful vacation that you have in your head now would not be the reality of the trip because you create from your vibration, not from your efforting.
There you go. That is so contrary to what we have been taught to believe. Yep. That if you work hard, you'll get what you want. Right? Yes. And you will. You will get what you think you want, but you won't get what you really want. And that's why so many people, myself included, work and work and work and work and get to this level of achievement. And when we get there, we're like, now what do we do? You know, this isn't making me feel any different at all.
Yeah. I had a friend come up to me at work and I said, what are you doing this weekend? She goes, oh, I'm meeting with my friend. We're going to go over our goals.
Yeah.
And she said, yes, we do this on a regular basis. And I go, she knows about the podcast. I go, I have a podcast I think you should listen to that would tell you a better way to get what you really want.
Right.
She looked at me like I was really confused. Anybody who says, oh, goal setting, that's not really the way you want to do it.
Yeah, right. You're taught. Yeah, because people have a belief that setting a goal and achieving a goal by working towards the goal and by, you know, efforting in some way, doing whatever it is. I mean, if you like everything that's involved in the goal, then that's absolutely fine. But if you have to, you know, work hard and pay your dues and do stuff you don't want to do, so many times I've done these things where I have to do cold calling, and I absolutely hate cold calling. Mm-hmm. I hate walking into a house or whatever or business and trying to sell them something cold. And I've pushed myself to do that stuff over and over and over again, hating every minute of it, and just realizing, why the hell am I doing this? Because you think you have to.
And if somebody really enjoyed that interaction, then that would be fantastic for them.
Yeah, my friend Doug loves it. He loves going to businesses and selling title insurance. He loves it. And he loves making new friends and hanging out with his old friends and making everyone a friend and meeting new people and all this stuff. And he's great at it. But I could never do it.
I have a friend that's like that with setting goals. And she, like, you know, leaves space for the fact that she's always changing and her goals might change. But she gets off on, like, making a list of goals like that, you know, things that she wants to do. But I think that for her it's fun. So it's the difference between, like, feeling like it's something you want to do and feeling like it's something you have to do.
Yeah, like making a vision board is fun.
Yeah.
Because it's not too specific, you know? Yeah. Unless you look at the vision board 5 years later and realize that none of it's there.
You slash your wrists.
I'm not really like a writing out my goals type of person, but I was just wanting to organize my brain. And so I sat down to write, like, in my mind, I was going to write a list of, like, priorities, like things that I wanted to do, Joshua stuff that I've, like, ideas that I've had in my head, you know? And I sat down and I ended up just writing intentions. Like, I intend to be open to inspiration, you know, I intend to have fun in everything that I'm doing. And I intend to, and it just felt so much better than thinking of all these things that I thought, like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. So it was fun.
Well, that's the beautiful thing is replace your goals with intentions. Okay, let's go to the next paragraph.
In order for this trip to manifest as you see it, several things must happen first. You must either become okay with being alone or find a friend to go with. You must be okay with spending the money or reduce the amount you spend so that it matches a number that feels comfortable. You must be okay with whatever negative comments your mother will say, or find a device that allows you to go and allows her to be happy with your decision. And you must also fit this all in with the overall desire to travel in style. Everything must fit together. So then, what are you to do? Nothing other than release your control.
Right. So, okay, so the universe is going to find a way that she either gets over this worry about being alone or finds a friend to go with. Now, how does the universe do that? So the universe is going to put her in situations where she is alone and feels good at home, you know, or she magically manifest a friend who wants to go to Miami also, or, you know, some other kind of thing. If Astor tried to figure that out, you know, it wouldn't work as well as letting the universe figure it out and just going with it. Just having this stance that, okay, my intention is to allow the universe to figure out how this is all going to work out, and I'm going to be open to whatever possibilities come my way. So the next thing would be spending the money. Or – so she's either going to say, okay, it doesn't matter what I'm going to spend because the universe is going to provide for me everything I need. I have this money. It's no big deal. Or she's going to say, well, you know, instead of going to Miami, why not go to the south of Spain? That might be a little bit less expensive. I don't know for Norway what it is, but, you know. Or maybe it's to somewhere else, you know, Greece or something. And she's coming here anyway. So when we go on our Joshua cruise, she'll be here. We can go to Miami. We can do all kinds of stuff. So let's see what else. Also, the thing with her mother, she might get into a fight with her mother and then tell the mother what she wants to do. And the mother's going to say, that's fine. Go ahead. Do that. You know, this idea that she has that her mother would be negative about it, she might not be negative about it. Anyway, I don't know how it's going to work out. Only the universe knows. But the idea is that you get into the stance of having faith that the universe is going to work this out. Mm-hmm. So imagine that you didn't have faith. Imagine that you're like, no, I don't believe in this universe stuff. Anyway, I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to just go out and do it. Well, you know that that's not going to work out. We can all see that that's not going to work out. that just by going and doing, I mean, we've all done stuff like this before where we're saying, I want to do this. I'm going to do it the way I want to do it. And it didn't work out. And sometimes it does work out and sometimes it doesn't. But if you have all these fears, the odds are it's not going to work out. So even if you didn't believe in the universe doing it for you, at least you know not to do something when you have all these fears around it and to think about it a little more and maybe to figure out a way that it's that you can handle it where your fears won't come up as much as they did.
Something that's really made my trips so much better lately is that I like say, for example, you miss a connecting flight. The old Steve, if I missed a connecting flight, oh my God, I am so pissed off and this has screwed up everything and I'm mad and I'm angry. And then new Steve is like, oh my God, what new opportunity has now come up? And that happens with everything. I literally don't see anything as bad anymore. Everything is an opportunity. And I seriously, I'm not even fooling myself. Because it's panned out that way. And
because you've had enough evidence that you've, a belief has been created and is supported, and that belief is super beneficial.
It is. And I've actually tried it. I've gotten confirmation after confirmation. So it's like it's like no fear. You go into almost any situation with like anything can happen and it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, we were in Vegas with another couple and we had a great time. We're coming back and we're in Dallas. And we missed our plane because we forgot to change our watches to Texas time, right? And I am so pissed off. I couldn't be more pissed off. So now we have to go fly into Fort Lauderdale instead of West Palm, which is an hour away. And my buddy Rick says, hey, don't worry about it. We're going to fly in. I'm going to right now get on the phone. I'll get us a limo to take us from take us home. And I was like, we get there. It was fine. It really made us delayed us about a half an hour, and the car drive, and we got a limo to take us all the way. Mm-hmm. How much more fun could that be, right?
And memorable.
And totally memorable. And I really remember that lesson of getting upset over nothing and having, you know, there was no reason to get upset at all. It didn't. I had this projection of what I thought would happen, and I was attached to that idea. And when that didn't happen, I thought it was a bad thing, when in reality, it was a good thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just like you, Steve. I'm much more likely to see things like that as good things, except for the times where I'm getting knocked out of tournaments.
Yeah. Well, probably because you put a little bit more weight on that tournament than the other ones.
Yeah, and my friend Mike, who we have this friendly rivalry, is playing in a day two of this tournament. So he's doing well in it right now. He just sent me a a text of what his breakfast was before he goes and restarts the tournament again today. It's a day two. So he's sort of rubbing it in, which is fun.
Isn't that great to have something to work on?
Yeah. No, I'm happy for him, of course. All right.
Of course.
Okay, next paragraph.
There is nothing you really need to do. The universe will work it all out. And if you choose to allow for the perfect manifestation of this relatively intricate desire, that didn't come right.
Yeah, that's right.
Then you will become a vibrational match and you will receive the essence of everything you desire in the most elegant manner possible, if you allow it.
So you can see that not only does she have to get from Norway to Miami in style, so that's just one part of the desire, but she has to not feel lonely, she has to not worry about the money, and she has to have figure out a way that her mom will either be happy about it or not know about it. So that's how your desire is. It's intricate. There's a lot of moving parts. Steve can't just go out and buy the Ferrari. He needs the wife to be okay with it, the money to be there, the, you know, all these other ideas of what the Ferrari is too.
Yeah.
There's more to it than just the manifestation of the thing that you want. It's the feelings all have to be in line with it. Otherwise, it's not going to be a fun thing.
Yeah.
Because you don't want a trip to Miami. You want a all these other things that go with that. Okay. Now, I didn't really realize that before this. I just thought, if we're going to Disney World, we're going to Disney World. But everything else has to go too. Has to be in there.
And it's too much to actually handle. It's like, would you, Joshua, used the 50-sided Rubik's Cube. It's
right.
Just like, don't even try. Just let somebody else. Let
you can try, but yeah, why try?
And when
why
you get out of the way, it's just so much better than you even could have imagined.
It's like, so much better
so
than you can imagine.
Better.
Elegant is the perfect word for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, should I go on?
You should.
You could.
You could.
You may.
That's right. No should. No shoulds. If you choose to allow your desire to come to you, you must keep your beliefs open and malleable. Hey, we talked about this earlier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The picture you hold in your head is not likely the one that will be the best match to what you really want. If you maintain your attachment to this ideal, you will have a very hard time receiving the perfect manifestation of your desire. Release your attachment to anything specific and then allow other ideas to flow to you. This is how you allow the manifestation of what you truly want. You have a desire for a vacation and for certain feelings. That's all you need. If you make it too specific, then you create a set of beliefs that are focused on the outcome and not the feelings you want. Certainly, you can manifest the exact vacation as you describe it on paper. All you have to do is make the reservations. That's not the point. You do not want what you have created. You want the feelings that led to the creation of the specific trip to Miami.
So it's the feelings of what you want, not actually the thing that you have in your mind. It's always the feeling of what you want.
Yeah. That,
we're almost in the
stretch here. A trip like that would be a good time to set intentions. You know, if she were to actually take the trip, then she could set intentions beforehand to pre-pave how things could go.
Right. Well, even before that, you would say, I intend to allow the universe to work this all out. I intend to be open in my beliefs. I intend to release my attachment to any specific outcome. I intend to adopt a stance of curiosity and see what happens. And I intend to release my attachment to any timetable.
Mm.
Yep. Mm. Because that's a big one too, because she wants to go in December when it's, you know,
right.
Chilly in Norway.
Hmm.
Okay.
Okay. You mentally constructed an idea of what you thought you wanted to feel as best you could, but your perspective is limited. You filled in the blanks yourself because you believe that you must control every aspect of the trip. This is not true at all, and in fact goes against the laws of the universe. Release your control. Release your attachment to anything specific. Allow your beliefs to be reformed. Keep yourself feeling good. Be open to new possibilities. Think about the feeling of what you want and let it all magically flow to you. This is how you create anything you want. It's so simple. With our love, Joshua.
It's simple, yet it doesn't go fast enough.
If you had a 3-year-old planning your trip, that's probably how he would plan it, right? Because he doesn't have the ability to get too specific.
Right. Exactly.
So just,
and the 3-year-old would have a great time whether you were in Miami or you were in the park.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Wouldn't matter. That's true, you know. I could take my dog to the park or the beach, and the dog would not care which it was. You know,
so channel your inner 3-year-old whenever you're doing trip planning.
Yeah. But, yeah, why do you want the trip anyway? You want to get away from home. You want to go somewhere exotic. You want to have an adventure. You know, it's interesting.
Memories.
You want memories. Yep. Cool. Well, we're going on a trip soon. I'm letting that whole trip be open, too. And that was a cool thing, too. So we're manifesting this Joshua cruise. And whoever wants to come, comes. No one pays any extras, just whoever wants to be there. There's nothing really specific intended. We'll do meditations in the morning. I think that would be fun to do it together. We'll do some Joshua Live interactions, which will be the first time ever, and I'm not to attach and what that looks like, but it would be cool to film it. I would like to film it. And then we'll just play and we'll go to the, we'll be together, hopefully, if we go to the different ports together, and we'll eat together, and we'll go to the disco and
disco.
Stuff like that. Discotheque. Well, we're not dancing. I'm not going to dance.
Are you going to wear your white pants and your red polo or whatever it was?
It was red pants and white polo.
Oh, okay.
Are we getting a room? I mean, do we have like a meeting room?
Yeah, we'll have a meeting room.
Oh, okay. So it is.
And
informal.
Yep. And so anyway, I was trying to figure out how Astrid and Kyla could room together and Wendy and Kate could room together. And then Wendy's like, no, I want my own room. And Astrid, I can't book in the U.S. I got to book here in Europe. So I'm getting my own room. And then, so then that left Kate out in the, Kyla out in the cold. And then Kate, you know, so all, everyone worked this out on their own. Somehow Wendy and Kyla got together and Kate and Astrid got together. So it all worked out perfect.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah. It's been really cool. I don't know. Yeah. It's all just working out. Because when one of the first times you got serious about it and you're like, Kyla, can you go on a cruise? I'm like, sure. You know, I'm sure the universe will work it out somehow. And it just has. It's happened.
Yeah. Very cool. So anyway, I'm leaving that whole idea. I'm not attached to anything specific at all. We're just going to go and have a good time. And I know it's going to be magical with the group of people that we have. Yeah, I can't wait. So
yeah,
when is it? March 26th?
Through April 2nd.
So you guys are all coming, staying with me at my house. I've got extra bedroom with two beds. And then I've got bunches of couches and a rollaway bed, too. So it'll be tons of room for everyone.
So you should give us dates that we should be showing up for your house.
Yeah, well, come Friday or Thursday, whenever you guys want to come. We're leaving on Sunday.
I was going to come a week early.
Come a week early. Hang on.
A month early.
Yeah.
My lease is up at the end of this month, Gary.
You can just move in. Bring the kids. Okay, so that was a wonderful show.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything more to add? Steve.
Yeah.
You have a manifestation to work out.
Yes.
What happened?
I was fired. No, I wasn't fired. I was not renewed. That sounds better. Not renewed.
Yeah. We are not going to renew your contract.
Yes.
Right. It has nothing to do with you.
I knew it was coming. I was kind of thinking it was going to be in March, though. That was my guess.
Yeah.
But they're feeling brave, so.
I'm how often this long, contract?
I'm shocked this long. It's literally a year ago this would have happened.
Yeah.
Well, technically it was a three-month contract when I restarted back in 2013.
Yeah.
And I jumped ship where I was at for 3 months. I said, it's worth it. I don't care. So everything past 3 months was gravy. So it's been, 3 years? So
yeah.
It's all good.
Good.
But it is time. I did feel like it was time. I probably created it. Knowing what I know, I probably created it.
There is a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance that you're allowing is what you're really doing.
Yes, but yeah. I do have some things to work on abundance-wise because it is my main source of income. Mm-hmm. And that it will be disappearing.
Well, that is limiting, though.
It is.
That's the main source of income. That's limiting.
And even the income was, I felt limiting. One of the things I've got a set of beliefs around jobs, working for people that are probably limiting. Yeah. Because I used to think it was wrong that I needed to be an entrepreneur. I needed to, you know, all these other sets of rules that I had in place. And so going to work and feeling like I'm working for the man was not a good feeling, but you know, I got through that through the whole thing. So I was actually having a pretty good time down there, but it was still bugging me that I had to physically be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That would bug me too.
That was what got my craw. So that is being solved. And what's really cool was I switched the way I was getting paid to where, it was instead of being W-2 like an employee, I'm being paid as a consultant.
Right.
And then, so the person who I was going through, instead of paying me on a regular basis, said, well, I'm not going to pay you until I get paid. So there was like, all of a sudden, I didn't get paid for like 45, 60 days.
Yeah.
But I've already incurred that. So what's going to happen after I get cut loose is I'll essentially get paid for another 60 days as it catches up.
Right.
So I have almost – I was so envious of people at work who are full-timers who get severance or get like, you know, and in a way I'm getting a severance.
Well, also you too, you're not attached to this weekly or biweekly paycheck that, you know, that now money can come or not come. And when it does come, it'll come in bigger chunks. That's the hardest thing to transition from an employee to a owner or an entrepreneur, is that money just doesn't flow weekly. It just comes in big chunks.
Right.
And then you pay your bills back, and then comes another big chunk and you pay your bills back.
Yeah. Cash flow becomes an issue.
Cash flow is an issue, but it's only a issue if you're not used to it.
Right.
If you're used to it, then it's no big deal.
No, I like having just occasional big chunks come in. That would be great. So, you know, if there's anybody out there that wants to send me a big cap, I can find me on Facebook, private message me.
Also, a whole bunch of little, like, daily income is good, too. Like, you get paid every single day.
I told my fantasy is to have a computer program that runs 24/7 that makes nickels for every transaction. It does millions of transactions, whatever that transaction is. And it just hums along very nicely, helping people. It's helping people. And they're very like an ad. You know, advertisers don't mind paying a nickel for every click or something like that.
Right.
That type of thing.
Exactly.
Like, you come up with that, that'd be great.
Well, you know, I'm really interested in Bitcoin. And one of the things that I always thought would be a very cool thing to do is own a Bitcoin restaurant, for instance. Mm. And so the people come in and they pay for the food with Bitcoin. So there's no paper. There's no bank accounts, right? It's just the money comes in through Bitcoin. Then everyone who worked that day gets paid that day automatically to their Bitcoin accounts based on the hours that they worked. At the end of the day, the vendor gets paid a percentage. You pay a day's worth of electricity. You can pay all these things all the time. It's all automatic. And you have a little account for, you know, taxes will go into that account, paid daily. And then, you know, whenever the tax bill comes in, it just escrowed out of that account. So there's no bookkeeping at all. It's all done immediately. And the employees could actually have all their accounts. So when their daily pay comes in, a portion of it goes to their savings, a portion goes to their rent escrow, a portion of it goes to their car payment, a portion goes to their insurance payment, all done. And they never have to do anything. It's all set up for everyone. And so all they do is pay 5 cents a day for this system. There you go. I just did it for you.
I think you're describing the future there. But
yeah, that is the future.
Why don't you guys make it happen? Write the program.
Because I don't want to. I like doing this. I like talking to people about the mechanism of physical reality.
Yeah.
I'm playing poker.
I would like to enable because Bitcoin's complicated. You know, there is a lot there. And I would like to create a nice, easy thing that a vendor who wants to be able to accept Bitcoin can just buy my thing, and now they can take Bitcoin. It's just super simple. And they pay that little transaction. I don't charge them anything for it up front, or maybe a small upfront fee. But every transaction that occurs, I get a nickel.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah. Well, there's that out there. But people are, you know what's crazy is that going to buy something on Amazon, I can't use Bitcoin. I can't even use PayPal on Amazon.
Yeah.
And how come Amazon doesn't have now I got an Amazon credit card, but until then, how come Amazon doesn't have, like, I get paid by Amazon for book sales. Why can't they just go into an account and I leave my money at Amazon so that when money comes in for book sales, it stays in that account, and then I can just spend that money on things that I get from Amazon.
I'm sure they'll get to that. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. how come I can't pay my credit card more than what I owe on it? So that it has
right. I do.
Extra in there.
I've done that.
I've tried to do it, and they send it back to me.
Well, they'll keep a positive balance for a few months, and then they send it back to you.
Yeah. Why can't I just put more in there and, you know, don't have to worry about it, take it out, you know, so that I can make my own limits on my credit cards instead of having this stupid $10,000 limit that I have to go through all the time when I'm doing a house, because you're just going to Home Depot all the time and all these places and ordering stuff online. Then you got to pay off. And if you're doing three or four or five houses at the same time, you can go through $10,000 in a day easily. And then you have to find another credit card to use and all this stuff.
Hmm.
It's funny how we're thinking about money in a way that it's so tangible. It really is an intangible thing. Hmm. Yeah, but it's not going to change with Bitcoin. But anyway, Bitcoin went up when Trump got elected.
Yeah, but it actually went back. It was like the market. The markets the night before were like way down. And then it kind of actually went up a little bit the next day. It was amazing.
It was amazing. Let's see what Bitcoin is now. Okay, so this is November 13th. Oh, yeah, it's back down to 702. Yep, it went up to 738 or something and then came back down to 700.
You know, people are predicting that when the U.S. currency fails, it'll go to like $500,000 per Bitcoin.
Or a million. Well, what they do is that they say, how many Bitcoins are there in existence and what's the size of the market right now? And so the size of the market now relative to the size of, you know, even Visa is tiny. So that it means that only a percentage of people who use, you know, Bitcoin is so small that even compared to people who use Visa, it's almost non-existent. But when everyone uses Bitcoin, then it will grow so much that if it's even the size of Visa, then every Bitcoin will be worth, you know, $100,000 or maybe $1 million at that point. Because there's a predetermined amount of Bitcoin out there. But one Bitcoin can be divided to six, you know, decimal points.
Yeah.
So a bit could be worth $100, where now a bit is worth a few pennies, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that would be cool.
Joshua supports Bitcoin, I believe.
Yes.
He says it's based in love.
They.
Yes, of course.
Bitcoin is based in love. There's no control. There's control over the dollar because there is fear. But there's no control over Bitcoin because there is no fear. So anytime you have a thing between something that's fear-based or not fear-based, the not fear-based thing eventually is going to be the better thing.
Would Bitcoin face the possibility of eventually becoming fear-based, you know? Or is it just based in love and always
It's fear-based. No. It's the Bitcoin basis of it, which is open source, not controlled by anybody, but can also not ever be attacked successfully, is a fearless-based platform. A fear-based platform is like anything else, PayPal or whatever, that has a central control and that people can choose who gets to use it and who doesn't get to use it, right? They can cancel your PayPal account. They can close your bank account. They closed my mother's bank account, for instance. She was getting her Social Security checks in this American bank account, Merrill Lynch, and on a whim, they closed it. And so now she can't get her Social Security check into her South African account. So we're going through all kinds of hurdles trying to get this set up. But in Bitcoin, anyone can use it. Anyone can buy it. Anyone can work for it. Anyone can sell it. Anyone can mine it. There is no restrictions. It's open to anyone worldwide. Doesn't matter where you live, what country you live in, who you are. It's free for everyone, open to everyone, as long as you want to spend the time to learn about it and you're interested in it. That is not true of the U.S. dollar. In many countries, such as South Africa, you cannot even possess a U.S. dollar. If I wanted to buy something in South Africa with a dollar bill, most people won't take it because they can't do anything with it, right? And it's sort of illegal because they think it's black market if you trade dollars outside of an exchange or a bank. So, you know, if you're in certain countries, you can't get other currencies except for the currency that you happen to be born into. And so with Bitcoin, you can – nobody can stop you from getting Bitcoin if you know what you're doing.
They might not accept it, but you can get it.
Yeah. Well –
that'll happen right. Time.
But you can always exchange your Bitcoin for your currency. And certainly for the dollar you can, no matter what you do. So you can buy anything with Bitcoin because you can get a Bitcoin-based credit card. And with that credit card, you can buy anything. Hmm. And then most places now, a lot of places take Bitcoin. Like Fiverr. This show is sponsored by Fiverr, my favorite thing in the world. Fiverr is this online marketplace where you can get anything done for $5. Now it's sometimes more than $5, but generally it's $5. And you can pay with Bitcoin.
And how much does Fiverr give you when they sponsor this show?
Fiverr gives me nothing but great service.
Oh, that's awesome.
One day, my 6 million fans, our 6 million fans.
I thought it was 7 million.
All flock. Now. 7 million by now?
Yeah.
All flock to Fiverr. All right, guys, this was a great exchange as always. Mm. How long has this been since we've been recording?
Hour and 3 minutes.
Wow. Perfect timing every time. Mm. I hope that everyone listening to the show has enjoyed it. And if you have any questions, send them to Joshua. Think about going on the Joshua Cruise. There are people all over the world that want to start Joshua meetups. So there's one wanting to be started in South Africa. Mm. If anyone's listening who wants to start a get-together in South Africa, we have people in Cape Town, and they would like to hear from you. So just send a message to me, and I will forward everything to everyone. Kyla, do people start Facebook groups or something? How does that happen?
That can be done.
How does the Connecticut people do it?
They meet in person. It's kind of, I think she called it a mastermind group, but I think it's kind of like a book club where they get together and they talk about this stuff. I've been talking to them, and I have some ideas about finding ways to sort of condense some of the information into, like, easily, you know, where we could just hand it or send it to people who wanted to start groups and they could have, like, a Joshua 101 kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
So
that's really interesting.
It's one of those ideas like, that's floating around that when I
you
get inspired.
Take like the first week, the second week, the third week, you know.
Yeah.
Sort of things we talk about. There's a group in I think it's Quebec that this woman Audrey works with people. I don't know, maybe it's all online, but they're French. Hmm. And so she has created this sort of Joshua course and they how she has students, you know, and they go over it all. It's very interesting stuff.
Yeah. I thought about doing something where I live, just like putting up a flyer in the grocery store. Just like sitting in a room with coffee and maybe two people show up and I'm just like, yeah, let's talk about the mechanism of physical reality. You know?
It's funny though that people are interested in physical meeting with each other instead of doing what we're doing, which is being on Skype and talking to each other every week.
Yeah. I like both. I mean, for me, meeting in person would be an extension of this. I already get sort of like the stimulation of having these kinds of conversations with like-minded people, but it would be cool to have more people in my real life, you know, in my, I don't know, reality right here.
Maybe we could offer on Facebook for somebody to join us on this call just, you know, once in a while. It'd be nice to get a fresh perspective.
Well, I would like to have people on the live Joshua.
Yeah.
So I think we'll start doing that. That, you know, right now live Joshua is how many people? Steve, Kyla, Astrid, Kate, and Emma, and Wendy, and me. So there's seven people on there. Mm-hmm. And so those, you know, are all in the one-on-one, and they everyone pays a fee for that. But maybe you pay $30 to be on the call and have a question and Joshua could answer when you're on the call, something like that.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, help pay for website and all that stuff that we do.
I told my gentleman friend I'd pay the $30 for him to be on the call. If we ever start doing that, I would just love to hear that conversation between, yeah.
I could, you know, it's so interesting because when I talk to people, I get this sort of tendency to try and convince them. Mm-hmm. And Joshua never does that. Joshua says, yes, you're right for whatever opinion you have, and mm-hmm. this is how we see it from our perspective, and you're always right, right, right. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good way to interact with people, especially people who are new to stuff. Mm-hmm. I sort of think that I know what's going on, and that if you don't understand the way I do, that you're not doing it right.
I think that's pretty common.
Yeah.
You should stop doing that, Gary.
We were in this table at poker. And on the right side of the table, there's 10 people on the table. We're all Republicans. And the left side, we're all Democrats. It was me and my friend Jeff, who's a dancer, and this three young guys, you know, and they're sort of like hipster poker guys, you know. And the other side were a guy who was in just got out of the military, and like four older guys, all Republican. And they were saying the stupidest stuff. Like,
that sounds a little judgmental.
The reason that the Democrats want open borders, free-flowing open borders, is because they'll bring all these poor Mexicans in who will then vote for Democrats. I'm like, do you realize that illegal immigrants cannot vote for the president? What are you saying? It makes no sense. But yeah, I mean, I was just saying quiet. Wasn't saying anything because I knew it was just going to inflame more talk if I said anything. And then they say this and I couldn't say anything. I couldn't stop anymore. I had to say something.
That's all. When I lived with my dad, like my main news source, because I didn't watch the news or anything, was Fox News. It was just on all the time, and it was good practice at like not engaging, you know, just saying, okay, you know what, you're right. I don't know.
All right, so what are you guys doing? Oh, it's Sunday today. We usually do this on Saturday. We're going to watch some football, I guess. Have a cookout.
I have work to do.
Oh, what kind of work? Taco Bell work?
No. No, my digital marketing agency work.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Fun.
I have fun to have.
Okay, me too. All right, you guys. Thank you for another great show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Joshua Live tomorrow.
Nice.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Teachings of Joshua Roundtable. Remember, you are loved more than you can imagine, by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next week.